July 13, 2021, public hearing at 6:45 regarding Local Law 2 of 2021, a zoning change, and public hearing at 6:50 regarding water consolidation. And a regular town board meeting following that at 7 o'clock.
Welcome to the 6:45.
This meeting is being recorded.
Public hearing, Local Law Number 2 of 2021, extension of R5 zoning. Ms. McCabe, could you please read the public notice?
Town of Monroe notice a public hearing to consider adoption of local law. Notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law of the State of New York that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Monroe on July 13, 2021 at 6:45 p.m. at the Town Municipal Complex located at 351 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, for the purpose of considering the adoption of Local Law Number 3. It was Local Law Number 3 at the time that we advertised this.
Okay.
Of 2021. If adopted, Local Law Number 3 of 2021 would amend the official zoning map of the Town of Monroe by extending the R5 district to include the entirety of tax map parcels 77.1-29 and 77.1-28.5. Written comments on Local Law Number 3 of 2021 can be submitted to the town clerk up and through the time of the public hearing. A copy of proposed Local Law Number 3 of 2021 can be obtained at the Monroe Town Municipal Complex and on the town's website. Leanne McCabe, town clerk, published July 3rd.
Okay. Thank you. So again, welcome to the public hearing for Local Law Number 2 of 2021, extension of R5 zoning. Just a slight backstory here. We have one piece of property that currently sits in two land use categories, and we were asked to take a look to see if the piece of property could be considered all agriculture. The board discussed it and it didn't seem to have a problem in it going that direction. In order to do that, we are now in the process of the public hearing part on this change the local law. So, had there been any written comments sent in?
I have a written comment that was forwarded to me from Jim Martin, but I don't know that that was supposed to be considered public comment. It is, okay. Did you want me to read it?
Yes.
It was a letter or an email to Jim Martin, and it was from Patty Flores, and it says, I'm fully on board with the Smith's request to extend the ag zoning on my property, and I plan to attend next week's meeting in support of it. And then there was a question asking whether the extension approval would be contingent on their real estate closing. And it goes on to say, if for some unforeseen reason the closing fizzles, I prefer to leave the existing zoning on my properties as it is now. If a contingency has not been included to date and it's a hassle to revise the papers at this late date, no need. I just like clarification at this point.
Okay. So do we...
Is she here? Okay. I initially spoke with Jim quite a while ago. He mentioned that it could be made contingent. And when I was reviewing my notes the other day, I thought of that, so I sent that email. But at this late date, if it's, you know, I don't want to throw a wrench in anything, we're very confident that closing is going to take place on the property. But
do you want me to address that?
Please.
So we can make the local law contingent. We could, the town board, if they desire, they could hold off and adopt it at their next board meeting, which is 2 weeks from tonight. If that would help, but that's really up to the board.
I think it's on the agenda tonight.
So
move forward the way that it is.
Okay.
Be done with it.
Okay. All right, sounds great. Anyone on the line? Any member of the public wish to address the board? Okay. If there's no members of the public who wish to address the board, we can close this public hearing. Can I get a motion to close this public hearing?
So moved.
Second. Motion carries. Or all in favor, sorry?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public hearing on local law number 2 of 2021, extension of R5 zoning is now closed. Mm-hmm. All right. Next item on the agenda is another public hearing. The public hearing at this point would be the Water District Consolidation Public Hearing. Ms. McCabe, could you please read the public notice?
I can. This was published on June 26, 2021. Town of Monroe Town Board meeting June 22, 2021. A resolution authorizing the scheduling of a public hearing consolidating 6 Town of Monroe Water Districts and 9 Water Districts extensions to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 2, Water District 6, Water District 6 Extension Number 1, and Water District 6 Extension Number 2 into one consolidated water district subject to the completion of proceedings pursuant to Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York, and further approving and authorizing the execution of a joint consolidation agreement. Whereas there exists within the Town of Monroe 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension 1, Water District 5 Extension 2, Water District 6, Water District Number 6, Extension Number 1, and Water District 6, Extension Number 2. Whereas the aforesaid 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions have been created for a similar purpose, and whereas the Town Board is desirous of conducting a public hearing pursuant to the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law for the purpose of hearing all persons upon the question of consolidating the 6 Town of Monroe water districts and 9 water district extensions to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 2, Water District 6, Water District 6 Extension Number 1, and Water District 6 Extension Number 2 into one consolidated water district subject to the completion of proceedings pursuant to Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York, and further approving and authorizing the execution of a joint consolidation agreement by the supervisor of the Town of Monroe. And whereas a map plan and report prepared by LaBurge Group, competent engineers, describing the proposed consolidation has been filed in the town clerk's office. Whereas in the event of consolidation, all expenses for any existing debt and future debt repayment and capital charges for the aforesaid 6 water districts and 9 extensions shall be determined based upon a fraction, the numerator for which is the annual debt service for all districts and extensions less the rent received from the cellular tower, and the denominator for which is the equivalent dwelling units within the entire consolidated district. Whereas in the event of consolidation, expenses for operation and maintenance for the aforesaid 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions shall be determined based upon a fraction, the numerator for which is the operation and maintenance costs derived from all districts and extensions from 2019, and the denominator for which is the 2019 total metered water consumption in gallons, and then multiplied by 1,000. Now, therefore, it is ordered that the Town Board of the Town of Monroe shall meet and hold a public hearing at the Town Hall, 351 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, at 6:50 o'clock p.m. on the 13th day of July, 2021, to consider the consolidation of the 6 Town of Monroe water districts and 9 water district extensions to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension 1, Water District 5 Extension 2, Water District 6, Water District 6 Extension Number 1, and Water District 6 Extension Number 2 into a single consolidated water district known as Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 to consider the execution and approval of a joint consolidation agreement and to hear all persons interested in the subject thereof concerning the same and to take such action thereon as shall be required or authorized by law. And it is further ordered the joint consolidation agreement proposes to consolidate the 6 Town of Moreau water districts and 9 water district extensions pursuant to the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law, and that as of January 1st, 2022, it is proposed to consolidate the 6 aforesaid water districts and 9 water district extensions located within the Town of Moreau pursuant to Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York. And it is further ordered the proposed joint consolidation agreement is on file in the Town of Moreau Clerk's Office at 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York. A copy of the proposed joint consolidation agreement and a summary thereof are also displayed upon and available for public inspection on the Town of Moreau's Town Clerk's Bulletin Board at the Town Clerk's Office at the Town of Moreau Town Hall, 351 Reynolds Road, Moreau, New York, and on the Town of Moreau website. And it is further ordered the copy of the summary of the joint consolidation agreement is attached to this resolution as Exhibit A and that a description of the geographic boundaries of the proposed consolidated water district is attached to this resolution as Exhibit B.
Great. Thank you very much for reading that in. Okay. So before we open the public hearing to folks in the audience, I would like to welcome our special counsel, Mr. Bill Ryan, and project engineer Don Rhodes from the Burge Group. They're here to present an overview of this project.
Thank you. As Leanne said many times, the purpose for my visit here is to consolidate these 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions. And on the screen, we have the various districts and their extensions, and the totality of them is 15. And you will see that each has been formed at different times, the earliest being in 1953, and the most recent in 2012. And on the right-hand column, you see the number of taxable parcels that are contained within each district and or extension. And this information was gleaned and obtained from various tax records here within the town and assembled by Don Rhodes and his capable staff. And the next slide shows the existing debt. Presently, only water districts numbers 1 and 6 have debt. And the joint consolidation agreement in the map plan report that was prepared in support of the joint consolidation agreement reviewed the history associated with debt. Water District Number 1 incurred debt in 2014 to install a water storage tank and distribution. New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation is the bondholder. The amount of the debt on that bond presently is $4,294,097, and the annual debt service approximates $151,668. Water District Number 6 incurred debt in 2009, also to install a water storage tank and distribution mains. And again, the bondholder is Environmental Facilities Corporation. The debt approximates $2,445,371. The annual debt service is approximately $128,704. Now, significantly, the water storage tank and the distribution mains serve all the other districts and extensions that do not have debt. So what that boils down to is the fact that the other 13 districts and or extensions have been receiving the benefit of distribution and water without incurring any debt. Pertaining to that. Now, new rates that the town proposes to put into effect this coming January is going to be broken into two parts. One is debt service, and the other one is operation and maintenance. The debt service pays off the capital charges from the two bonds that were issued in the past, and the debt is going to be assigned on a per equivalent dwelling unit basis, and based upon the mathematics in the math plan report, it's going to be $36.47 per EDU. The operation and maintenance is a little bit more esoteric, I guess, is that that formula is also going to be derived from a fraction. The numerator for which is the operation and maintenance costs derived from all districts and extensions from 2019, and the denominator is the 2019 total meter consumption in gallons and multiplied by 1,000. The operation and maintenance costs beginning in January 2022 are going to equal $2.60 per 1,000 gallons. And this last page of the presentation sets forth the capital charges, as I just said, $36.47 per EDU, and the O&M at $2.60 per 1,000 gallons. Each year, the town board will revisit these charges and, if necessary, make modifications. That's it. And the other thing is that I just want to mention is more than a few years ago now, the legislature adopted a new article to the general municipal law known as Article 17A, and that allows municipalities like Moreau to consolidate various districts, and this legislation specifically refers to special districts, special improvement districts. And what will be happening, hopefully, if it's adopted here tonight, it's going to streamline your town operations and make things more administratively easier for your staff to do this on an annual basis. Because from what I understand in speaking to the supervisor and other individuals is that you have presently different rates for different districts and different extensions, and it's difficult completing and building each year, but this is going to streamline it all and make it equitable. That's it.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Rhodes, is there anything you need to add? Would you like to add?
I would like to point out that some of the debt service charges, as was shown on Bill's slides, they were incurred almost 30 years ago, which means after the 30-year term is done, the payments are done. So it looks like I think it was 2014 was one of the bonds. The other bond was 2009. So typically there's about a one-year period there where you incur it and then you make your first payment. So we're probably running up on that 30-year term for one of those bonds. So you'll see that work that into your overall budget based on your current timeline of your The other thing I need to point out is there's a minor change regarding the way people are currently built. Vacant properties are not paying anything. Vacant properties that are within the district and benefited by the water main currently are not contributing toward the system. However, they are able to connect at any time, which means they're benefited by not only that connection, but fire protection. And then the last thing is there's a few properties that actually have connections to the house, but not plumbed into the building or to a business. Those people have been benefited not only by the main, but a contractor was retained by the town to put that service into the building or the commercial building, and they have paid a dime towards that service. So it's just another example of if you're benefited by the improvement, it's equitable to ask that everyone that's benefited contribute toward the system, right, and that cleans up that problem.
Thank you for pointing that out. That's a great point. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. If you've got nothing else to add at this time, we'll open up the floor to for the public hearing, for members of the public. Actually, real quick before we do that, I should ask, has there any written comment been received? Is there anyone online with a hand raised to speak? There's not. Okay, so as many of us have been here before, some simple rules here for the public comment period. State your name, state your address, and please keep your time to 5 minutes. When we run out of 5 minutes, someone else can speak. If no one, after everyone has done speaking and you want to continue to go back up, you can go back up for another 5 minutes and we'll work our way through it. I think that seems pretty clear. So I have a list here, which I, the first one I have is Mr. Gardner Condon. Would you like to approach?
Would a question be appropriate prior to the commentary if there is some confusion?
Sure, I think.
In my part, that would help in my comments.
So, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Rose, are you okay?
You know, a couple of simple.
I'm fine with answering questions, but I'd also like to back up on a statement that I just made. I must have had a brain lock. 2009 is not 30 years ago, so you've got about 10 years on your name. Clearly, I missed that. Sorry.
You know, I,
but yeah, if the board would like me to answer questions.
I don't want to get out of being appropriate, but based on the comments, it's what's here. But if I don't understand what's here and how it was derived, then I find it difficult to comment with any meaning.
Sure, if you have a
so
question, certainly ask.
A simple couple of questions could resolve that. What do you think?
I'm okay with it. Sure. Okay with it?
Okay. In your presentation, decision was made that the addition of District 6 and District 1 somehow was beneficial to District 2. How did you arrive at that conclusion other than, you know, it mixed the water in, but District 2 had no shortage, one. Two, the size of the pipe coming from Queensbury is, I believe it's 30 inches. So coming right into District 2, there's no shortage of water. So standing on its own, District 2 is okay. And, you know, the rest of what I've got to say comes after that, but making that finding in your proposal follows making the charge then equitable to District 2 because District 2 somehow benefited from the, between the two, I think it's a total of almost $7 million.
So
that, you're asking District 2 to pick up the expense or part of when they had no vote on the establishment of 6 and 1, every one of those districts was established by virtue of standalone approval. Correct me if I'm wrong, in the individual districts.
Yeah, but
so that being the case, so District 2 had no say in the creation, but then come a time when we want to consolidate, we're saying to District 2, well, you folks now are benefiting from a standpipe over in the other part of town. In other words, decision made, and I just don't see any backup.
So
other than in the bonding, it was stated that it would be redundant supply.
The map plan
redundant supply is not the same as being necessary for District 2. Redundant speaks for itself.
So there's two pieces there. So the District 1 and 6, both map planning reports for those projects were prepared long before I was working with the town. Both of them indicated that the designs specifically benefited the system overall. The redundant supply benefits the town, as you understand, as you said, redundant is self-explanatory, but having multiple options for water is pretty important for a district. Number one, it allows you to negotiate effectively with your other partners because you have a backup plan. But it also allows you to provide water to your district when you exceed your allowance, which happens pretty much on a monthly basis in the town, where they balance the loads based on who can supply what. There's a minimum requirement of 150,000 gallons per day from the county, and that is deployed to the system overall based on consumption so that they don't exceed the peaks at Queensbury, because there are certain triggers that happen that require you to purchase reserve capacity. So it's a long, drawn-about way of saying that they're actually using that supply to minimize the cost to the overall districts as well as provide that backup water supply. There was also tanks installed and oversized mains for that redundant supply. So not only did the map plan reports that were used to create this, did they indicate that they benefited the entire district, we looked at it independently and said, yeah, those do benefit the district from a system pressure perspective as well as the redundant water supply. So that's how that leap was made. No decisions, however, were made. The decisions only rest at this board level. These are the technical findings for their consideration. So no decisions were made, but that's the basis for the technical piece that you see in the report.
Okay. I'm not particularly understanding it. I understand what you said. In terms of supply, I would need to know a little more about why that shortage occurred. And
yeah, it happened.
Numbers to know that was.
Happy to show that to you. Yeah. Happy to show that to you because Jesse is moving the balance.
Provisions to buy extra water.
There is.
From Queensbury that would.
Yeah.
In those times when you needed it, those provisions were in the original contract.
Yeah, I believe the board just approved the purchase of 150,000 gallons because they were bumping up against the limit that they couldn't overcome with their existing supplies. So that's how it's done. But again, the operator uses the flows to basically cover the usage, try not to exceed the amounts, and really only bump up against that for about 2 months a year. When the Village of South Bend Falls needs it, it bumps up against it a little bit more. That front-loaded the purchase that the village, that the town board just made for the village to allow them some temporary supply. But really, it's during those dry periods that you run up against the problem. For about 10 months of the year, you're fine. You're never up against any limits. But again, that redundant supply allows you to be able to say, in a negotiation with Queensbury, you're not the only game in town. We have the ability to go someplace else, so please treat us fairly. And the town of Queensbury has always been a good partner with the town from my conversations with them. They've negotiated very well with this board. So that relationship is really, really good. But in municipal government, as most people know, it changes yearly.
Yes.
So all it takes is a difference of a board on the other side where you might end up in a position where you need to have a backup plan, and that provides it, and you don't want to run out of water. So you've got it. What if the line blew underneath the Hudson River and you couldn't fix it right away? You've got backup water. District 2 would then have water. They're not without it because of that redundant supply. So they're...
That explains the larger of the two bond issues. But what about the other one over on Sisseton? How does that one fit the same description?
So you're talking about the new development on Sisseton Road? The District 1?
That $2.5 million.
So the original District 1 debt, what, 2014?
Yeah. How does that tie into what?
Storage tank, water distribution.
District 6.
So water tank distribution, that provides balancing of the system for demand. Without the water tanks, you end up with issues during peak demand periods. That tank was sized to be able to level some of the demand periods that they had a problem with. It didn't just serve that district. It served the system overall. If it wasn't upsized or didn't provide benefit to those, it would be difficult to make that leap from a technical perspective, but it does. It helps the overall system.
Thanks, Tom. So, Mr. Condon, do you have a public comment at this point?
No, I'm being answered by your questions.
Okay, great.
I'd like to hold my comments back and maybe take the next...
Sure.
...reserve my time, if I may.
Sure. Okay. Not a problem. Thank you. So next on the list, Mr. Mike Shaver, would you like to speak at the...
I don't know if anybody can't hear me from here. I'll hear
you. Right.
Wherever you want me to go.
Name, address.
Hold the mic so we can hear you on the...
Okay. One of my first questions is that I didn't hear anything about the fund balances in the existing water districts. Where is that money going to be spent?
So we can certainly take note of that.
It's a large sum of money.
Right. And I believe that might be information. I think you might have tried to get some today, but Jeffrey didn't have time to provide it.
Correct.
If you need it,
correct.
Do a FOIL ASAP, and they can get it back to you. That way it's on the record, done the
right way. Well, we all know it's a large sum of money. What I'm concerned about is if that fund balance is going to go to help pay this debt. Because Water District 2 is an old water system, the distribution system's old, it's full of transite pipe, and if we're all going to pay the same price, then we should all have the same product. Water District 2, fire protected is terrible. It was designed in 60, I'm going to say 64, you guys said 67.
I think it was in 53.
Let's call it the 60s, okay. So if everybody's going to pay the fair price and we're going to pay somebody else's debt, where the district's debt, you know, expanded throughout the years, then we all need to have the same product, I guess you want to say. So I think we need to look at the fund balances, at least spend them down, start repairing the existing water district. You guys know your engineers. Anybody that's got transite pipe in the system has got $1 million in the bank. They're going to start fixing it. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, so yes. If you want, I can answer a couple of those questions.
That's certainly up to the board. That's my comment. And the people in Water District 2 have paid a debt, and that's how the water tank got there, the distribution system got there. So for those people to go and pay a debt into another system that they don't get benefited from, I don't agree with that. You talked about consumption. District 2 very seldom exceeds 1 million gallons per day. Okay? I want some of those.
Yeah, that's a perfect comment for the record.
Yep.
So related to the fund balance, the MAC plan work report does address that. What was happening for a few years was money would come in for tap fees. Those tap fees were to be reserved for a purchase of reserve capacity when the time came due, and it wasn't necessarily put in a separate pot of budget keeping, and there wasn't a set budget for operation and maintenance, future maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we made a policy recommendation to address that. Number one, stay ahead of the purchases for reserve capacity. Continue doing that collection of a tapping fee so that people that came in contribute toward the overall operation and maintenance and the investment that the previous owners have done, previous landowners have contributed toward for many years. And then specifically related to the overall sharing of debt, that also happens with operation and maintenance. So as some of the older districts need repair that have invested heavily in the existing infrastructure, they're going to have a need for rehabilitation before the newer systems. Where the newer systems were able to leverage the investment of the original investors, the original district water pipes that were installed, now you've tilted that balance the other direction. So you're basically saying people came in that didn't pay much in for 30 years because this was built in the 50s. We're now going to ask you to pay for these pieces that need to be rehabilitated. Just because this transite pipe hasn't made, there hasn't been a big shift to replace that, it does create some operational burden because you have to be asbestos certified to be able to cut it or touch it. But there currently isn't, to my knowledge, any real impetus behind replacing it until it gets damaged. And it's pretty good as long as you never touch it. As soon as you touch it, now you're into asbestos abatement for the replacement. I also know that this board is looking to invest in pieces of water main that haven't been built out that should. And I know that one of them is on Van Buren Street, which is just off that. I believe it's District 1.
It's District 1.
So there's money that will be allocated that's in reserves for that type of investment at the board's consideration of when that happens. So again, once it's consolidated, it makes it much easier because you don't have to go to District 1 and say, okay, how much money do you have? Technically, there's 14 districts in this town. They're being budgeted for 6, but there's technically 14. There's no way you're going to budget for 14 with staff going out to service a hydrant and charging district whatever. You really need to be looking at the overall system together, budgeting it together, and developing an overall plan for its growth, its operation, its maintenance, and its long-term rehabilitation. You just can't do it with so many districts. So I think I hit the high points of most of your things, except for the specific piece. You can't use that fund balance to just pay off debt.
Right.
I'm sorry. And on the fund balance, sir, if it is as high as you state, there are certain mechanisms under the general municipal law for the town board to consider establishing a capital reserve fund for the water district, for the consolidated water district, and using the money that's appropriated for that capital reserve to address some of the issues that you expressed without having to bond for it.
Yeah, I just, again, everybody's going to be paying the same. And most of the distribution in the town is fairly new. It's all left to the PPC or whatever. This district, parts of District 1, which there's no fund balance, there is a debt. But District 2 is over 50 years old. I don't want to see that fund balance going somewhere else. We need this board here needs to make a plan when they budget every year to say, you know, let's say we got $600,000 in the bank. Let's do a $200,000 project this year, $200,000 next year, you know, improve the main roads first and break off into the small roads, and provide fire protection. I think fire protection is a big issue. District 2, again, was designed in the 60s, we'll call it the 60s for talk's sake. Fire protection down there is simply not there. So if I'm going to pay somebody else's debt, I think we need to address that fire protection first and the distribution system. We got a couple schools there in Water District 2. If we get into the those water mains or something happens, and what happens to schools. So I'd like to see that stuff addressed. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Thanks, gentlemen. And Mr. Harry Dial. Please approach.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Jerry.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I have a problem thinking that we would take a district like Water District 2, which I believe at one point had a fund balance of over $800,000, and ask them to take on somebody else's almost $7 million debt. It's like picking somebody's pocket for convenience and ease of operation. I think if you're going to do any tech consolidation, that the debt shouldn't be paid by the other people that don't have any debt. All those districts and those extensions were done freestanding. Supposed to work. Everything will be fine. And as far as I know, they all are working fine. So it raises the question, why are we doing anything? My other concern is why we haven't maxed out our purchase of capacity from Queensbury. You certainly have no leverage with Queensbury to negotiate when you're paying them $1.16, $1.18 a thousand gallons and paying the county over $2 a thousand gallons. So I don't see any leverage there. They have been good partners. The original contract they negotiated, it had a 20-year contract with a 20-year option. And I've said for years, the board should exercise their option, try and get another option extended beyond those 20 years. I'm not sure how much of it has been done, but to buy the capacity at the rates that we could buy into, it's a shame that we haven't maxed that out. People are going to get water bills under the consolidation that haven't got a water bill. Those people have invested in properties, properties in the 50s. Those owners back then paid their debt until the bonds were paid off. Now they're being asked to pick up somebody else's $6.8 million in debt. There's another thing that I read in there about limiting all pipes to ductile iron. Are we putting ourselves in a box? Is there a reason that you're not considering PVC or vinyl iron? Something's prompted that. You have subdivisions that have PVC. You've got it already in your system. Has there been problems? Why are we now going to just up the land? I've heard nobody clamoring for this consolidation. And it's almost like they're gonna, why are we doing it? I'm here tonight because of the administratively easier. But when you start reaching and swapping money from one person's pocket to another, you better be darn careful. I'm sure some phones will ring. And then for the first time today, I read about the audit. I hadn't heard about the audit. I'd like to see what the controller's concerns were and what they recommended. I've looked at the rates. You want to equalize the rates now, but you've got an out-of-state corporation that you charge $2.16 a thousand gallons for water. I think under this plan that may even go less, I'm not sure. But you charge your own constituents, the village, $4 a thousand gallons for water. So those are some of my comments. I'm sure I didn't cover them all, but I didn't want to look upwardly welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on the record regarding water district consolidation?
Yeah,
Mr. Kahneman, if you would. Go ahead. Your reserved time is as right as we have.
I would probably repeat much of what Burger Bowser said, but with that fund balance and the fact that District 2, over a long period of time, paid off their debt, and including any expense that the town incurred was kept track of, and Water District 2 paid the town back any work the town highway did or anybody did, lawyers, anybody, did not come out of the town general fund. So District 2 stood by itself as a separate financial entity from 50 years. So those were times when $200 was a lot more than it is now. And as Harry said, to ask those people now to pick up the cost of a pipe, which I question, you know, I'm not going to argue with the gentleman, but the need for that pipe to District 2, I'd have to look really carefully, and I'm sure that a question could be raised as to the need. So, all that being said, there should be a way to, in some way, compensate District 2 for their investment in this consolidation, if that is the board's decision. Because the way it looks right now, they're just right back in debt again. So, the other thing, you've got a commission coming up. Don't you think that the commission should be made up of appointed people and not employees of the district? If you look, you'll see that the commission would be people appointed by the board and employees of the district. Wouldn't they have a little conflict of interest, setting rates and so forth, being employees? Just a thought.
Right, certainly comments will take in consideration.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Anyone else would like to speak?
I'll be brief. I had just a couple things that I wanted to talk about. The loans, you have 2 0 interest loans. You plan on, are those assumable? They're bonds, I don't know what they're called, those serial bonds. Just what they are, the financing, but is something like this going to trigger an acceleration of the debt? Something you, no, okay. You've already considered that. All right. And then on the engineer's recommendation of the options, it's interesting that on the sewer district down Route 9 and Wilbur Road, the debt was addressed as assessed valuation. But in this instance, they found that the EDUs is apparently more attractive. So I find that interesting that it fits, the AB fits for one type of district, but still you go to the EDUs, which I thought we should have done in the sewer district. But we're going one way with one and recommending the other way on the other. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Anybody else?
My favorite, Don Morrow again. I just wondered when you're saying how much, you know, people are going to pay and all that kind of stuff, if you're going to set different rates for different residential, commercial, municipal, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're headed down Route 9 down here, and as I looked through that map plan report, I did not see a commercial rate. I may have missed it. You know, there are going to be commercial users out there that could use 40,000 gallons a day, or there's going to be some out there that are only going to flush a toilet and use a couple hundred gallons a day. So I want to make sure that, you know, you set your different rates and treat everybody fair. And when we get into our municipal rates, you know, take our schools,
our outside users and stuff into consideration. And so I didn't see that, how that's going to be done. So that's something that needs to be worked out.
Would you like me to answer that?
Yeah.
It's we use what's called an equivalent dwelling unit.
Yep.
So a house is one EDU. If you have a commercial property that's using 10 times a house, it's 10 EDUs, and it's based on flow. We calculate the projected flow. We divide it by 200 gallons per day. That gives us the number of EDUs. If it's not already listed in the EDU table, you'll see an EDU table in the map plan report, which is based on the one that Saratoga County uses.
Okay.
And that's what we're recommending be considered. That'll be subject to consideration by the board and adopting through the local ordinance.
Is this stuff that's all going to be done before the consolidation is approved? So we don't look at seeing a consolidation here soon?
It's before it goes into effect. Consolidation will be hopefully approved, and then there's going to be a local law adopted that identifies and deals with the different EDUs for the different types of property. So to answer your question, about the sharing of the debt and the obligations, there's got residential homes are going to have one EDU, and then depending on the type of property, commercial, and there's different segments of commercial properties, they're going to have different higher EDUs. Like a school will have higher EDUs, and apartments will have different EDUs that are greater than one. So that I believe addresses your inquiry on that.
Somewhat, yeah. So it kind of sounds to me like you said this is pretty much a done deal.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not the top.
Oh, okay. Because you said hopefully it's going to be done here soon. I just want to tell this board that if you're going to do it and you're going to charge everybody the same, and you better get out and start putting some fire hydrants in. You know, because if I don't have fire protection and I'm paying for it, somebody else has got it, then I'll be back. You know, so think hard about what you're doing here, and the people paying the debt and paying another debt. So I think you've got a lot of homework to do, and we're a long ways off on enough consolidation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
One half EDU is what we're proposing that the board consider. You can select what you want.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just make a general comment? I just want to verify with Bill and Don. If the board adopts, goes forward with consolidation this evening, consolidation is not effective this evening. That's correct. It's not going to be effective until January.
Correct.
Is that a fair statement? So, Mike, to your point, consolidation, if the board decides tonight to do that, that's step one. After that, there is a law that's being drafted, and there's other things that have to go into effect. Is that just so that the public is aware that if they decide it tonight, consolidation doesn't go into effect tomorrow, and there's other things that have to occur. Is that a fair statement?
Correct. And the thing that has to happen is the drafting of the local law.
Right. And that's in progress right now, so
correct.
That's not done yet. So those points will be in the local law that Bill and Don discuss.
So by January, it will become effective.
It will become January 1st, my understanding. I don't want to step on your
toes.
If it's ready, it's January 1st.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there's work to do.
That's way too soon because, again, we're paying for something we don't have.
I just wanted to know the change.
And I appreciate that. Thank you. I just want this board to understand that the people in Water District 2 and parts of District 1 are paying for something that they don't have. And if they don't have fire protection and they're paying for it, then something needs to be corrected. Thank you.
Okay.
We have one more comment, and then we're going to close this public hearing.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Listening to all this, I'd just like to see if my mind is clear, okay? You brought up asbestos. Mike brought up asbestos. Let's say 5 years down the road, with their wisdom, EPA or DEC or somebody declares asbestos pipe illegal, got to replace it. Under this program, with the consolidation, with the new district paid to replace all the asbestos pipe in Water District 2?
Under that theoretical, if it happened?
Theoretically?
Theoretically, the consolidated district.
A better answer than theoretically.
The theoretical.
I'm saying what kind of a guarantee could be written into this consolidation that any and all future situations within the districts will be shared in the whole district.
That's correct. In your hypothetical, not theoretical. In your hypothetical, sir.
Well, mine is not necessarily hypothetical.
Okay.
Because you just stated yourself that asbestos was a problem and that you mustn't touch it. It's okay if you don't touch it, but if you touch it, didn't you just say that?
You have to be qualified, certified.
How can you say it's hypothetical?
So let me clarify something.
The diabetic declared unsafe.
Well, to answer your question, if there's a problem or a capital improvement needs to be made, the entire district pays for it.
The consolidated district, you can't redistrict. So the consolidated district will pay the costs that are within the consolidated district. And maybe my example of those that were in first pay up front where they have a reserve fund. Eventually they're going to come back to the till and need some help with the rehabilitation. That's kind of the example. That's the example you're talking about. But you're not going to create a district inside this consolidated district just because somebody has a pipe problem. The consolidated district will take on the burden of any pipe replacement that may come up in the future, just like the example that you mentioned.
Yeah, I want to make it clear. I'm not saying there's a problem. I'm saying if there was a problem, which that is hypothetical, but given the way rules are made by people above our level,
you're absolutely right.
That's where the problem is.
That's for sure.
It might not be real at all. So, that being said, I think some words in there that there's some good for District 2 in those kind of situations. Mike has brought up much better than I can some of the shortfalls in District 2. But if the new district is going to correct those, it could be a lot more palatable for those taxpayers within District 2.
Thank you. Tyler, real quick, just can I see you after? There's a couple things about the distribution of district. I think that would be great.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. If there's no more questions or comments, I would like a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public hearing is now closed. All right, so our regular scheduled town board meeting that was to start at 7 o'clock is going to start momentarily. And then come on back. Then we will start our regular town board meeting. Okay, welcome back. We are going to continue with our regular town board meeting. At this time, can we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Okay, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. All right, first main agenda would be the approval of minutes. From June 22nd, there are three sets of minutes. There was a public hearing on fences. On June 22nd, 2021, there was also an audit meeting, and on June 22nd, 2021, the regular town board meeting. All members currently here were present except for Council Member Hogan. So, we could take them all at once if someone would like to make that motion.
I'll
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Abstentions? Please have it noted that Councilmember Hogan is abstaining. Motion carries. Agenda item number two, setting future meetings and workshops. At this point in time this evening, Carla, how should we proceed with dealing with our open public hearing on local law? Now it's going to be number three, solar, and closing the public hearing?
Sure. The public hearing was kept open from the 29th, I believe it was on the 29th. And at this point, you can, if the board chooses, you can close the public hearing, but I would recommend just keeping the comment period open for about a week. That way folks can provide any extra comments they want so that everybody can be heard. And then so you can close that in a week. And then at the next meeting, I know we're in the set future meeting section, I would propose that at the next meeting you have a discussion about the solar law and decide if you want to schedule another workshop, if you want to rewrite the law, if you don't want to rewrite the law, I think a discussion with the board at the next meeting would make sense. Then you'll have all the comments, and at least we'll begin to compile, and there was quite a few of them. If that's what the board wants to do, that would be my suggestion.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, we're going to close the public hearing this evening, but we'll keep the written comment period open for one more week, which would be July 20th. That's one week from today. That sounds good to me. Other board members, I don't know if you have any feedback or comment on that.
It doesn't need to be a motion. You need to
have
a motion to close the public hearing.
All right. Motion to close the public hearing on local law number three, solar. Keeping the written comment period open until 7:20.
Motion.
We got a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. All right. So here we are. We are back to now on local law number two of 2021. Agenda item number three here. Local law number two of 2021, the extension of R5 zoning. Does the short assessment review procedure need to be read at this point, or?
Yes, what you do at this point is you'll go through your part two of the short environmental assessment form, and then if you issue a negative declaration, you can go forth and review the adoption resolution. As with all of the local laws, I prepared the short form, the part two, and indicated the response to the impact questions to be no or small impact may occur. I am happy to read the questions and have the board orally advise me of the response, or if the board is in agreement with the way it's presented to you, the board will just direct me that way.
What have we typically done in the past?
You've done both. It really, it doesn't matter. When it's more of a controversial matter, you have me read them. When it's not controversial, and I would hesitate to say this is not controversial, given that there was no one really at the public hearing prior except the individual who's selling the property, I think you would be fine under seeker if you just went through and agreed that the answers to 1 through 11 on part 2 of the seeker form are no or small impact may occur.
I'm fine with that.
I agree.
So is it the board's determination then that a negative declaration should be issued?
Yes.
At that point, as we do in our other local laws, we incorporate the negative declaration into the adoption resolution. So that would be your next step.
Okay, so and who would we?
That's
we would need the adoption resolution to be read at this point in time, correct?
Yes.
Ms. McCabe, do you have a copy of that?
I do.
Okay.
Could you please read it?
I will.
All right.
Resolution Town Board, Town of Moreau, subject of adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2021, amending the zoning map of the Town of Moreau by extending the R5 zone to include the entirety of parcels 77.1-29 and 77.1-28.5. Whereas the Town Board of the Town of Moreau is considering the adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2021, would amend the official zoning map of the Town of Moreau by extending the R5 district to include the entirety of tax map parcels 77.1-29 and 77.1-28.5. And whereas the Board finds that the adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2021 is in the best interest of the town and it is necessary to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of town residents and property owners. And whereas the Board finds that the adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2021 is a necessary and proper exercise of authority by the Board. And whereas the authority for the enactment of this local law is found in Section 10(1)(i) of the Municipal Home Rule Law. And whereas pursuant to Section 20 of the Municipal Home Rule Law, a public hearing on the proposed adoption of Local Law Number 2 of 2021 was properly noticed in the newspaper and posted and was duly conducted on July 13, 2021 at the Town Municipal Complex. And whereas the Board has considered the public comments made at the public hearing, and whereas the Board, serving as lead agency for this unlisted action under SEACR, reviewed a short environmental assessment form and determined that the action does not present any adverse environmental impacts. And whereas the proper review is performed by Saratoga County Planning and there is no county impact. And whereas after thorough review and deliberation, the Board proposes to adopt Local Law Number 2 of 2021. And whereas the attorney for the town has prepared the necessary documents for filing this local law with the Secretary of State, including the text of the law itself. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board hereby adopts Local Law Number 2 of 2021, which amends the law as stated above, and be it further resolved that the Board adopts and authorizes the filing of a negative declaration, and be it further resolved that the Board hereby authorizes the town clerk and the attorney for the town to make such minor modifications to the local law documents as they deem necessary, and thereafter are directed to execute and file the said documents as required by law and to take all of the necessary action for the promulgation thereof.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, great. Item number 4. We're going to come back here now at this point to the water consolidation. Okay, now this is the part where we're going to address SEACR for our water district consolidation. Yes.
That's correct. May I be heard?
Yes, Mr. Ryan, please. Go ahead.
Well, what you have in front of you is a resolution of declaring the action as having no significant impact upon the environment. And in connection with that resolution, I have prepared and completed the short environmental assessment form. If you turn to the second part, impact assessment, all of the boxes are checked, no or small impact may occur. If you'd like, I can read those for you, but all of the boxes have been checked, no. The other point that I want to make is that the resolution authorizes the supervisor to sign it and for me to file with the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Okay. If you don't need to read them, we can do what we just did the last one, I think, right? And
that's fine.
Okay. Does that work for everybody?
That's fine.
Okay.
I defer to Bill.
Okay. That's fine. It's fine with us as well. Okay. So our next step at this point in time, do you declare the negative declaration, or are you going to say that they're all 1 through 11 or...
Well, all of the, in terms of the short environmental assessment form, there are 11 questions. questions, all of which have been answered no, or small impact may occur. And the resolution that is before the board for consideration states that there's not going to be a significant impact on the environment, and that the negative declaration be issued, and that the supervisor sign the short environmental assessment plan.
Okay. Great. And at this point, Ms. McKay, do you have a copy of the resolution?
I do.
Can you read it, please?
Resolution regarding negative declaration for the establishment of the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1. Whereas a map plan and report has been prepared in such a manner and in such detail as has heretofore been authorized by the Town Board of the Town of Moreau relating to the consolidation of the Town of Moreau's 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions to wit. Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 6, Water District Number 6 Extension Number 1, and Water District Number 6 Extension Number 2 in the Town of Moreau, County of Saratoga, State of New York. And whereas such map, plan, and report was prepared by LaBerge Group Limited, competent engineers duly licensed by the State of New York, showing the boundaries of the proposed Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1, the general plan of the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1, and the various expenses to be charged for real property located within the Consolidated Water District. And whereas the consolidation of the Town of Moreau Water Districts requires compliance with the provisions of the Environmental Conservation Law of the State of New York, and regulations of the Department of Environmental Conservation, Part 617, State Environmental Quality Review Act, and the Town of Moreau has previously established that the Town Board act as lead agency for the review of plans and determine the environmental impact, if any, of the proposed consolidation of the Town of Moreau's 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions. Now, therefore, be it resolved as follows. Number 1, the Town Board of the Town of Moreau as lead agency has determined that the establishment of the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 as described in the map, plan, and report prepared by LaBerge Group Limited is an unlisted action, and that establishment of the proposed Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 will not result in any significant adverse environmental impacts, and that the supervisor of the Town of Moreau be authorized to execute the short environmental assessment form with respect to the determination that the establishment of the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 is an unlisted action, and that the establishment of the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 will not result in any significant adverse environmental impacts. Number 2, based on its examination of the EAF, the criteria set forth in Section 617.6 and 617.7 of the regulations, and such further investigation as the Town Board has deemed appropriate, no potential significant adverse environmental impacts are known. Number 3, consent to proceed with the consolidation of the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 will not cause a significant impact on the environment, and the Town Board will not require the preparation of an environmental impact statement. Number 4, negative declaration is to be signed by the supervisor. Number 5, the town clerk of the Town of Moreau is hereby directed to cause to be filed and circulated the negative declaration in accordance with the requirements of SEACR. A copy of the negative declaration shall be maintained in the office of the town clerk in a file that will be readily accessible to the public, and the clerk shall email copies to the Office of the Commissioner, Department of Environmental Conservation, 625 Broadway, Albany, New York, 12233, and Environmental Notice Bulletin, NYSDEC, Attention Jack Naska, 625 Broadway, 4th floor, Albany, New York, 12233, 1750. Number 6, all subsequent notices concerning this project shall state that a negative declaration pursuant to SEACR has been issued.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. All right, great, thank you. Item number 5 on the agenda. Let's see here.
Now you need to discuss whether you want to adopt or approve the water consolidation.
I'm sorry. Any discussion? For one, I know this is part of the process.
while it doesn't kick in until January, I think this is the first step in the process. I am obviously in support of consolidating and adopting the water district consolidation.
I would be echoing your thoughts in light of the public hearing and information that we heard, knowing that we still have some more work to do, but I'm absolutely in support of the water district consolidation. It would be my recommendation that we move forward with the resolution.
Right, my understanding, I know there's some concerns in the public tonight about the fund balances in these different districts. And I just hope I have a better understanding. You understand that cannot be used to reduce the debt of the consolidated water districts? Is that what I understand?
It's currently not a recommendation either. There's two pieces there. Bill will talk to about whether you should. We have zero interest loan. You don't typically pay out zero interest loans when you know you have obligations, which is to operate and maintain the system. Because you're always scratching for money, scratching for funding, so you should keep the kitty. But I believe that a lot of that reserve balance was created when people connected into the system and paid in the tapping fees. And somebody needs to go back in and see really where that money came from. I don't think it was from ratepayers. I think it was from people that did developments in town, and that money was...
So that money, my question, I guess, is that will not be used to pay down the debt. That's, we have that choice, I'm saying, to put that in reserve fund for capital expenses. I think that's what you said earlier.
I cannot recommend that any fund balance be used to pay down debt. First, it's not permitted. And secondly, you have zero interest loan, as Don just said. And to address the fund balance issue, with the amount of money that's in there now, my recommendation is that when all of this is finished, after assuming this consolidation motion is passed tonight, the resolution, and the local law where we get everything in order in terms of the EDU, then make a determination as to what the amount of your fund balance is, and then seriously consider establishing a capital reserve fund for the Consolidated Water District that would be put into effect in the event that you needed to make capital improvements or repairs or replacement to some of the infrastructure that was discussed tonight by some of your constituents. So that way you wouldn't have to bond it or go into debt without the fund and money there.
That's my understanding. I'm going to be clear on that. And also, this is just like the first step, correct? Where we have to write a law, there's still more public input.
Right. I'm in the process of drafting that local law now, but I do things incrementally and systematically, and this was the first step. You need to have it consolidated, and then the local law will be put before you, certainly within the next month, for your able consideration, and then we'll have a public hearing on that, just like we did tonight. And the proposed local law will be posted, and people can read it and comment.
Okay, thank you.
There's also a public hearing associated with your budget development. So every next step has public participation.
Thank you.
No. All right. So our next step on this topic. Okay. Ms. McCabe, do you have a copy of
it? I do. Could you read it, please? Town of Monroe Town Board Meeting, July 13, 2021, a resolution approving the consolidation of 6 Town of Monroe Water Districts and 9 Water District Extensions, to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4, Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5, Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5, Extension Number 2, Water District Number 6, Water District Number 6, Extension 1, and Water District 6, Extension Number 2, into one consolidated water district subject to the completion of proceedings pursuant to Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York. Whereas there exists within the town of Moreau 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions, to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 6, Water District Number 6 Extension 1, and Water District 6 Extension Number 2. And whereas the aforesaid 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions have been created for similar purposes, and whereas the town board on the 22nd day of June 2021 adopted a resolution in order to give notice of a public hearing pursuant to the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York to be held at the Moreau Town Hall on the 13th day of July 2021 at 6:50 p.m. for the purpose of hearing all persons upon the question of consolidating the 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions of the town of Moreau, to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension Number 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 2, Water District 6, Water District 6 Extension Number 1, and Water District Number 6 Extension Number 2 into a single consolidated water district. And whereas the town board wishes to plan for the future needs of the town and its residents and businesses, to consolidate services, to reduce the amount of administrative services and costs within the water districts and the extensions, to increase the financial base of the water districts and the extensions in order to obtain a reduction in interest rates on any anticipated borrowing, to distribute costs more evenly, and to establish fair and reasonable rates for services as follows: all expenses for any existing debt and future debt repayment for any capital charges shall be determined based upon a fraction, the numerator for which is the annual debt service for all districts and extensions less the rent received from the cellular tower, and the denominator for which is the equivalent dwelling units within the entire consolidated water district, and that the annual debt service charge shall be $36.47 per equivalent dwelling unit during the first year of consolidation, and then adjusted annually thereafter. And whereas the expenses for operation and maintenance shall be determined based upon a fraction, the numerator for which is the operation and maintenance costs derived from all districts and extensions from 2019, and the denominator for which is the 2019 total metered water consumption in gallons, and then multiplied by 1,000. And that the operation and maintenance cost will be billed at $2.60 per 1,000 gallons during the first year of consolidation, and then adjusted annually thereafter. And whereas the town board and town clerk have caused, as required by law, to be posted and published the notice of public hearing pursuant to the provisions of the aforesaid Article 17A of the General Municipal Law. And whereas the town board conducted a public hearing on the 13th day of July 2021 to consider the consolidation of the stated 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions into a single consolidated water district, at which time all persons interested in the same were afforded ample opportunity to be heard and speak in support of or in opposition to the proposed consolidation. And whereas the town board has carefully reviewed the issues associated with the consolidation of the aforesaid 6 water districts and the 9 water district extensions, now therefore it is hereby resolved from this town board, acting pursuant to the provisions of Section 754 of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York, does hereby consolidate the 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions of the town of Moreau, to wit, Water District Number 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 1, Water District Number 1 Extension 2, Water District Number 1 Extension 3, Water District Number 2, Water District Number 3, Water District Number 4, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 4 Extension Number 2, Water District Number 5, Water District Number 5 Extension Number 1, Water District Number 5, Extension Number 2, Water District Number 6, Water District 6, Extension Number 1, and Water District 6, Extension Number 2, into a single consolidated water district, and said consolidation to be effective January 1st, 2022. And upon such consolidation does hereby further determine as follows. Number 1, this resolution is adopted pursuant to the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York. Number 2, that all steps required by the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law have been carried out in relation to this project. Number 3, that it is the public interest, that it is in the public interest to consolidate the aforesaid 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions as set forth herein and as set forth in the joint consolidation agreement into one consolidated water district. Number 4, all property and assets of the aforesaid 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions shall become the property and assets of the new consolidated water district. Number 5, all property of the existing 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions shall become the property of the consolidated water district, and the consolidated water district shall assume and pay for the indebtedness, if any, of each of the existing 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions, and if such indebtedness had been incurred subsequent to this consolidation as provided by law. Number 6, all expenses of operation and maintenance shall be paid as set forth within this resolution. Number 7, all expenses for capital charges arising from any existing and future indebtedness shall be paid as set forth within this resolution. Number 8, the Consolidated Water District shall be known as the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1. Number 9, the joint consolidation agreement between the Town of Moreau and the 6 water districts and 9 water district extensions is approved and the town supervisor is authorized to execute the same. Number 10, the town clerk is hereby directed within 10 days after the adoption of this resolution to cause a certified copy of this final resolution to be filed in the Saratoga County Clerk's Office and in the Office of the New York State Comptroller at Albany, New York. Number 11, the Town of Moreau Consolidated Water District Number 1 boundaries are as set forth in Schedule A, annexed here too.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any discussion before we...
So I think that this is a good thing for the entire community. I realize that not everybody's going to be happy, but I think that overall it's good for the community. And with that, that's why I would support this. I know that there's questions about monies and where it can go and what has to happen with it, but I'm trusting us, our employees, our supervisor, to formulate a good plan to utilize that to the benefits. With that, I'd like to move forward.
Thanks for those thoughts. I would agree with what you say there, Mr. Jones. Anybody else? Okay. So we had a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Thank you. The supervisor just needs to sign it.
It wasn't funded.
project, and it wasn't funded because the project came in under budget, and the company needs money. So we had already done a lot of work, and we said, is there anything else that would fit in the program goals? And while working with some of the mobile home park owners, they said that one of their biggest concerns is that they're paying roughly 50% of the overall costs of the district five extension through mobile home parks. And one of their operational problems is they don't have a really good way to monitor flow to their tenants. The town doesn't sub-meter, don't recommend you do, but there may be a way to partner with the funding agencies to help them minimize the consumption inside the mobile home parks, which then lowers their overall costs of operation. So it was really an olive branch. Since most of the work was done on one application, we can leverage that into another one. But if that doesn't get funded, you're pretty much not going to get anything funded for that project. That's our last thing that we can find that might fit inside the program.
Okay. And we're basically we're looking for the, I guess, approval to allow the supervisor to authorize the fees associated with the grant application, correct?
This probably the authorized proposal as well as authorized submission of the grant application, because I think it's due Friday.
Okay.
So if the board chooses not to move forward, we don't apply.
So we're looking for a motion to authorize the proposal and authorize the to approve the spending, the grant application by the supervisor.
And to submit the grant.
And to submit the.
And for on the record, the cost associated with the fees is?
It's $8,000 plus the fees, and I don't see the fees listed at this. Here, I don't know if that's just a typical wording.
I think there's a grant application fee, it's just the services proposal.
Okay, so the services proposal breaks out. This will be paid for out of account number A646.0.4.
Check the current balance.
You know, I don't have the balance on that.
It's still greater than 8,000.
Yes. Yeah. I spent some time today with Jeffrey and we said, put this together, and I guess that was one thing that didn't come up, but I know Jeffrey would have applied it if there wasn't funds available.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for
your time. You're all set.
Pleasure.
Okay. Item number six. We have Tracy Clothier and Mike Panic here from LA Group. They're here to discuss the Townwide Trails concept plan. We talked about this last meeting as well, so we're here to present more information.
Thank you. I'm Tracy Clothier. I'm a certified planner with the LA Group, and I'm here with Mike Panic, who's a licensed landscape architect. And we started this project under a grant. Leave you those for the
thank
supervisor.
You. Thank you. Yes.
There you go.
We started this project back in, it was approved in 2019 by the Hudson River Valley Greenway, and then we had COVID and all that, so we started it late. And it's a $15,000 project for which the Hudson River Valley Greenway paid $7,500 and the town paid $7,500. And we, with those fees, we decided to concentrate on the areas of the highest use, that being Guitar Park, and the second one being the section of trail that's known as the Big Bend Trail at Nolan Road. Up to the Northway. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm going to let Mike Panich take you through the drawings. You have a few more drawings in your packet that show the overlay and everything, but I'm going to let Mike take you through the whole thing.
Yeah, one quick question. I know you, and I think it might be just an overlooked thing there. The VTAR 5 would be the used part of the trail, Guitar Park. Are you talking about Guitar Park where our recreation fields are?
Yeah.
You are, okay. And, I apologize.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, so if you look at the first page in the packet there, there's a copy of the overall trail plan that we have. Kind of highlights that there's the existing bike routes of Route 9 and 197 that kind of tie the whole town to the greater regional trail system. And then it also highlights the existing trails, the off-road trails of Monroe Lake State Park, which will continue to get developed into the Palmertown Bridge Trails. And then there's the Big Bend Point, kind of in the central location of the town, that OPRHP is taking over and is going to develop into kind of a large trail network system. And so in this map, we kind of highlight how we can kind of establish some neighborhood connected trails so that we can bring the neighborhoods into those areas, as well as the Fallfield, Red Park, and Utah Park, and then Hudson River Waterfront Trail Network at the Big Bend. And then just to quickly highlight the next page for a plan at the Utah Rec Park, they're just asked to kind of on paper that the town wants to kind of see future connective trails to the new developments that are happening alongside the edges of the park. And so that's just a plan that kind of indicates that that intention is there to provide neighborhood connective trails to the future developments. So to get into the nitty-gritty of the Big Bend Trail here, essentially we phased the development in three different phases, the first being kind of looking at the central location of the main trail route and establishing a trailhead at the existing parking lot for the boat ramp. The second phase is kind of broken up into three different phases and sub-phases, the first being phase 2A, which concentrates on further developing the parking lot, better use of the boat launch, and as more action happens with visitors coming to the trail network, we want to be able to account for that and have safety improvements to the parking lot. The phase 2B creates a secondary trail system in the woodlands here, and phase 2C creates another trail loop on the central area that has a variety of ecological interests. Things to do. I'm sure I'll get more into the details shortly. Phase 3 focuses on bringing the trail network and connecting it to the other side, going underneath the Adirondack North Lake overpass, and then establishing a trailhead on the western part of the property, as well as creating a roadway connection to the future trail networks at the Big Bend Point. The Oak Tree property, as well as the Monroe Lake State Park. So to get into more of the details, to turn to the next page, turn kind of looking back and forth a little bit here, we've got the blow-up of that phase 1 in the parking lot area for the boat ramp. And so the first part of phase 1, we look at establishing the trailhead at this parking lot. So imagine this is being opened up a lot at the moment. The kind of southern end of that would involve trailhead, which would include accessible parking for a couple of cars, as well as additional six spaces for extended parking, bike racks, and a bike improvement, a bike repair station, a gateway improvements to the trail, which would include stone column and ornamental gate that would prevent unwanted vehicles from driving onto the trail system, but still be able to be open for emergency vehicles and or maintenance, trail maintenance vehicles. Accessible kayak launch to be utilized for anybody coming to the trails, as well as any sort of trail signage. And then moving onto the trail network itself, the primary trail loop works its way from the trailhead that parking lot and go down into the core of the site. If anybody has doesn't have familiarity with the site, there is kind of an existing roadway that's there. This property used to be utilized by Finch and Prime. It's kind of like almost like vacation grounds for their employees to go and camp and have recreational opportunities. Now that it belongs to the town, the camp is kind of still there in its remnant state, as well as kind of the roadway loop is already kind of in place.
all that needs to be done is kind of improve the base and create a permanent, stable, accessible trail to it. So that's the core of the trail loop. Moving down this main corridor, there's opportunities for developing fishing piers, one in kind of the open fence area, one on the riverfront. There's a fishing pier down in the Vassman area with a hubby pond up in Westfall area. That's a kind of great use, accessible, you can have wheelchair accessibility going up to the waterfront and dam to cast a line. That's one of those things. So picking opportunities could be expressed there. There's a central hub location where the trail starts to split in the different directions. That could be, it already is kind of opened up area of the site that could be further developed to be kind of an encampment area where you could have larger gatherings, Boy Scout, Girl Scout troops could gather there and have a fire pit to kind of formalize the space. That's phase one in a nutshell. Phase two, going back to the phase two phase, the upgraded boat launch and boat trailer parking facility. This essentially would formalize the space so that you would have clear direction of traffic, you have clear spaces delineated for boat trailers pull through, as well as upgraded and standard parking spaces. You'd have opportunities for tie down space for if you're leaving the site or kind of staging spaces to prepare the boats before launching them. And then any sort of ID signage and regulatory signage, that sort of thing, included in those upgrades, as well as recommended upgrades. Turning right now, the boat launch itself is just kind of loose gravel and remnants of asphalt paving that is formalized with the proper concrete boat launch and dock system would help with the, getting the launching flight, of course. Phase 2B, Woodland Trail Network. The secondary trail that would come off of the primary loop and have opportunities for seeing more of the nature. Scale-wise, I think the primary trail wants to be around 12-foot wide width, that would accommodate kind of a larger traffic flow, but the secondary trail loops, I recommend moving it down to a 6 or 8-foot wide trail. That creates kind of a more intimate and nature trail feel to the experience, and as well that these trails right now don't necessarily exist, so you have to box out a corridor to clear the space, and so you want to minimize that to kind of retain the natural quality of the woodlands. There will be opportunities for rest areas that could have benches, fellow tree edging to find space, any sort of interpretive signage could happen at the rest nodes. Phase 2C is more of a wetland loop that kind of goes through a bog area. There's a hemlock road that is a particularly beautiful nature, and there is a chance to make their way back there. It's quite an experience. There will be opportunities for boardwalk installation and footbridges that just add kind of interesting destinations for any trail users to use. And all of these developments are relatively self-contained as the loops, and so a family can come and park their car every day and just kind of experience different areas and kind of have repeat visitations because there's lots of things to explore. Phase 3 makes the longer connection to the rest of the neighborhoods to the south and west. This is, there's an old roadbed that ran historically down the Hudson River here, and it's still there. It's burned up land that kind of separates the Hudson River from the wetland kind of down here. That would still be able to be utilized for a trail. The only issue being this inlet here, this is open water to the Hudson River, so you have to take a crossing in order to bridge that gap. That would be relatively intensive, requiring a pedestrian bridge, probably a prefabricated truss bridge that would kind of just get hauled to the site and placed on concrete buttons on either side. Have to be about a 75-foot length of the span. So that's kind of the largest endeavor for creating this and successfully creating that span, but not impossible to overcome, obviously. Crossing underneath the overpass, along the driveway here, you then create the second trailhead
so that you can either park cars on either end, or anybody from this end has a location to kind of start their journey through the day. And like I said, the Old Bend Road is going to lead up towards the future Big Bend Point Trail Network and onward to Morrow State Park and the Palmer Town Bridge Trail system that's getting developed. So it's opportunities to really pull the whole town together and have people come from the Vitar Byway on one end and successfully navigate all the way to Morrow State Park on the other.
Love it.
So that's the trail concept in a nutshell.
So, I know it's down there. And if I may ask, can I ask some questions in Morris Thomas? You know? I'm pretty familiar with that area. I grew up in those woods and I still live pretty much right there. So I'm up down there all the time. And we talked about this quite a bit in the time I spent on the board. And I'm really happy to see that we have something on paper now. What would you have any thoughts for what each phase would cost if we go through this at this point in time?
Yeah, the packet you got, I'll let them speak, but the packet you got last year meeting, yeah. There's a breakdown of what to speak to that. Yeah. The board members have copies.
Right, so, in the full report, we have information on costs, and it takes into account, or it goes under theory that the town went and hired a contractor, public bid, hired a contractor to install the entire thing. What's that going to cost? That number is a very big number. However, it's not the way that reality is going to happen. In reality, we're going to break it down into kind of smaller phases, sub phases, see grant funding, and a lot of the funds the town matches with impact services, volunteer installations, material donation. And so the numbers on paper don't necessarily reflect the reality of what you'd be able to accomplish with that cost. The issue with developing this kind of order of magnitude costs is you can't, at this moment, know what exactly the details break down in terms of where funding is coming from, where volunteer services are coming from, where the kind match, all that sort of scenarios are in the hypothetical. Theoretical, and so you have to kind of be very conservative. So the numbers on paper are very substantial. Mm-hmm. For the phase 1A, we are seeking a CFA grant. Tracy can speak to it a bit.
Yeah, there's a CFA round of funding coming up at the end of July, and you all approved going out to this grant the first phase of this, which is the paved area from basically the parking lot.
It would be developing, formalizing and developing the full loop. So that, immediately you have a destination to bring people to.
That is universally accessible. Speaking of Vitar Byway, it would be similar to that. And I spent some time on that, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how many people use it and enjoy it. It's amazing. And you will be able to do the same thing for the parking lot down through for a good portion of it, for what most people are interested in using. So we're seeing this as a real boon to the town in the first phase, jumping off to get this done. Very, very exciting. I'm about halfway through this application, which is a tough application, but basically we're going after $250,000, which is the maximum for that Parks Trails grant, and it would require a local match of $50,000, for which we've already talked to the town about BOCES continuing their work, and all sorts of donated materials that I'll add to that. So I think that formula will work. That's what we'll put in the grant. And because it's part of that big system of the OSI lands, which I think referred to the Smith Farm. So it was a Smith Farm, which is now the Open Space Institute, but will be New York State Parks very soon. And then the Morrow State Park, and then up to Lake Bonita and over the Mountain. It's an amazing, amazing trail system all the way to Saratoga Springs. So Moreau being part of that is really special, and being on the river is very highly favored by the state. So I think you have a really good chance. But I'll tell you, these grants are so competitive right now that I don't know. But we'll do our best to get you there. It's only a 20% match, and that's why I say let's go for the maximum. Because you're getting a big 80% is being paid for by the state. So this is our best scenario. So keep your fingers crossed. I'll do the best I can. Pressure's on. There's other grants too. When this one is finished, we'll close it out with Hudson River Valley Greenway, and then there's more opportunities through them for additional grants, and they're very easy to administer. So. It's September, yeah. I think it's $75,000 for additional, and those are 50-50 grants, so that would be the town would have to match that, but it's $75,000 for trails, trail development. They're coming, and I'll keep an eye on it for the town and keep you informed as well of what's going on. But I think this is what's going to make a real difference to the town here and the residents.
There's a tremendous amount of history there. I think I learned the last time we met that part of that used to be the road before Route 9 existed.
I heard that from Bob Lindale.
Oh, Chain Road.
Oh, it came from Bob.
Well.
I'm just kidding. I was there. But there's a ton of interest from a lot of people I talk to in the town about ongoing recreational development. And it's much more than, softball field and park. It's a variety of the things that people are looking for. And the pricing structure they really want to make stuff too much. Just keep in mind the pricing structure they gave us that you have from last week. Mm-hmm. They broke it down maybe kind of a la carte. And so we go back and look at some of that, depending on what we end up with funding.
Yeah.
It's not a big number that you have, we can take it in sub bases.
Mm-hmm.
And certain pieces
can be removed. That's a rising roadmap that as funding becomes available, you're kind of pick and choose the different parcels of the design and whole, so construction planning, bit by bit, build momentum in different areas by adding on additional.
And he said more granularly, even inside phase one, there's several ways that's broken.
Yes. Yes, and that's another thing that once we get the grant, things shake out a certain way with the match, down the matches, and the material arrangement and stuff, that shifts the numbers around too, and that means that we might be able to add on additional amenities or something like that, but originally conservatively
did at that point. And as I look through these, at some point we should chat. I have a peer here in South Plains Falls who's a successful businessman, and he said to me a couple years ago, I'd be willing to throw in all of the construction materials and labor to build a boat launch if the town is giving you that approval. And I had brought that to a few of our folks, but maybe I should give you his name and reach out to him and see what in fact what he meant by that. I don't know, I look here on page two, I see that that $280,000, I don't know if that he had in mind, but I don't know. Because what he does now is he takes his boat and gets him over the one in Queensbury. And he dragged over and picked his wife up over here in the South Plains Falls side. But he lives about a half a mile from where he's going. He got on a plane, well, pick him down. I hit that right across the river. So I'll pay for it, whatever it is. So, there's people in the community that might, like you said, be part of that in kind and volunteering. So, I just want to share that.
That's
great.
That's all really kept on. Give us that name. We submitted the plans to the town, so we want to put them on the website and gain more interest in the public.
Yeah, I think we'll probably take that quite under the board, but I think we need to start thinking about how the messaging wrapped around it and do a better job maybe sharing it with the community. Thank you.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And thank you to the council. Absolutely. For helping you guide the project, and certainly Bob Bittenhill for he was very instrumental in giving us the information we needed and tours and what have you. So fun project, and let's see if we can get some money for it and just keep it going. But once you have it down on paper, you know, it just gives you hope, right? It's not a dream anymore. So thank you for allowing us to do it. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your patience.
Okay, moving right through the agenda here. At this point, we don't need no more action on that at this point. Right? No. Okay. All right. Next, you'll see on the agenda that it says assessor's office. I don't know what y'all have in front of you, but I can read it. It's a request for attendance. To be paid for attendance at a required farm appraisal class. From our sole assessor, Leah Cronin, let me just read it. They hereby request permission for Leah Cronin to attend the required farm appraisal class offered by New York State to complete my assessor certification. This course is offered by the Department of Tax and Finance at no cost. It will be held in Delaware County on October 18th through October 22nd. Funds for the conference will be pulled from the Department contractual budget line A1355.4 and lower the approximate expenses. So, look, Drew, you should put a little bit of a packet together for us as to what we're looking to approve. And I'm trying to find the number 755, the approximate expense would be $755. I just want to add that. You know, Leah is a certified appraiser. This is going to require basic certification specifically to Tom Moreau. It has farming component, which is required for Moreau due to the large agricultural makeup of the town. And all at this point, all of the required courses have been completed. So I just wanted to add that in there. I asked for some more clarification on that, and she added that. So at this point in time, I guess we're looking for a motion to approve a training for the Cronin in the amount not to exceed $755 to be paid from account A1355.4.
So moved.
Second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. All right. Let's see. Where are we here? I know I've got something for rec in here. Okay, a couple things for rec. Why don't I have mine? So we have, first things first is a resignation, Recreation Department Labor Jacob Day. We would like to acknowledge and adopt the designation effective June 10th, 2021. Looking for a motion to accept and adopt the designation.
So moved.
Okay. In favor?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. So, real quick on that, I just want to thank Mr. Day for his service to the community in that role. And good luck in any future endeavors. And also, the Recreation Department, we need to approve the pay rates for the basketball camp that's currently being held and will be continued for the next few weeks down at Harry Bittar Park. This was provided by Peter Olszewski, our rec leader. So it'll be resolved that contractors for the 2021 Town Moreau basketball camp be paid at the following rates to be paid out of the town. A7310.4, camp director $100 a day, assistant director $50 per day, camp counselor $33 per day, as camp counselor as needed at $33 per day. I don't know if the rec committee has any comments you want to add before we move look for a motion.
Only that I'm under the impression that the turnout for this program is off compared to what it has been in the past. It might be related to COVID or what else. And as such, this change
Okay, yeah, as of today, there were 21 kids for 36 slots spread over the 5 weeks. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense here right now, but I guess it's 21 of 36 spots were filled. So that's where they're at with their numbers. Again, I don't have any reason to think that these would be bad numbers to pay you.
No, you're looking at about 2/3 of what the camp was expected to bring in.
Okay.
But
I think there's some cooperation from the people involved to make sure it still works for the town, too, so they can make a decision.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so looking for a motion. I'll read it again. Should I read it again for clarity, or does it matter? Looking for a motion to approve those rates.
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Any opposed? Passes. Motion carries. Okay. I don't know if you guys have in your, if you were given a copy, so supervisor items. A few years back, I put together, I see there, maybe you have a copy of this thing now and then. It's called the, I put it together about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, reimbursement expense worksheet. We were having trouble getting to some, what it was going to cost to send somebody to a conference. And it came up with the assessor's office, it came up with the courts, I believe, and I put this together to try and maybe streamline the process. If you look back at Leah's request that she just sent us, you can see she photocopied post-it notes, she printed out map quests or map maps. You know, there's rates for mileage, there's rates for meals. As we move forward with a updated employee handbook, I'd like to add something like this into that so that there's clarity. If you all at some point want to just take a look and thinking about some of the other requests we've had for reimbursement for training at conferences and the expenses involved, this might be something that we want to add to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We can update it every year with the new, you know, whatever the mileage is, whatever the deals reimbursed at. Yeah, we put the newer numbers on the back so it's easy, you know, to search for it. It just, you know, that, I think it's part of this kind of housekeeping stuff here for our employees, and it's less intimidating to try and figure out what's reimbursable and what the process is.
Yeah, that's good.
So as we go forward, you know, personnel committee maybe will be looking for some feedback on that. Okay, great.
Is there any ask this evening or is it for us to review it?
I'm just asking you to review it at this point in time. Go ahead and give me a lot. This is the first I really asked the rest of the board to give it serious consideration to add to some of our official documents for our employees.
Well, sure, understood.
Right. Another item here, supervisor item, is a reminder that the Sarasota County Fair will take place this year. July 22nd through the 25th at Sarasota County Fairgrounds in Boston Spa. For more details, obviously there's a website for that. Look up everything, www.saratogacountyfair.org. Okay. Moving on, committee reports. Are there any committees that have anything to report?
I've got a little transfer station. I forgot last meeting about the replacement roof over contractor.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Mike's agreed to do it on in-house. And we talked about funding. He looked into it's going to be about $1,000 with all the materials and the materials.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. So we're talking about where the funds are going to come from and stuff like that. We have it today. Where do we take those funds out of? Open up the PO. He said we got an account up at Lowe's so we could put the Lowe's and pick the stuff up. And he said it'd be about $1,000. And Jeff said today that there's transfer station balance is $84,993.27, but take it out of the PSA fund 60.4. And if we want to act on that tonight, okay, that those funds, so we can open the deal and get that gap going. What do you think?
We've asked for that, but how much time is it going to take to do it?
You said we should be able to do it, to have to have one Wednesday and have it the next Wednesday. What's your thoughts?
About 60 hours later.
Probably 60 hours later.
Okay.
It's great. Are you in an overtime situation, or do you not work that way now?
He doesn't work that way.
Okay. Yeah. Do it for a motion to...
I'm wanting to approve the $1,000 PS 816014 for the purpose of buying the chair. Motion to approve.
I'm going to second that. I got some
discussion.
Yeah, discussion. There's a couple different things that come to my mind right off the bat. The first is, are we asking him to do something as a laborer outside of his job description that might cause an issue with Carla? This is a transfer station employee helping him repair a roof. Basically, shingles or whatever up in there. I don't know. Are we doing shingles or metal roof?
Are you paying him as an employee, or are you paying him separately?
Is that where you're at a day where you normally would work?
Does he have a job description? Does hourly work on a day he wouldn't normally work?
Yes. Because Wednesdays were normally closed.
Does he have a job description?
Yeah, I don't know.
Labor. He's done.
Right.
All kinds of carpets he worked on there before. I don't think it's actually to be outside what he's done in the past.
Except he's getting paid extra.
Additional hours, yes, about 16 of that.
Additional hours. Well, to say he's out of, he's not union, so he would be
correct.
Out of.
Okay. So this is why I'm asking.
Right. I guess would you normally have a laborer you've got to work?
Well, we do have those and grouse people that do those kind of things.
Okay. The only concern I have is that he is getting paid more, but as long as it doesn't go above the hour, then, his hours, and I think you guys all just said it would not go, it wouldn't put him into OT.
That's what I don't know. I'm not sure.
So if it doesn't put him into OT, there's no issue with it.
Okay.
And it's normal rate.
Right. There's no special rate, it's normal rate. But he's under the insurance for the council. It's just another task that is being directed to do.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So that's an answer. The next question I had to do with the materials that he's getting through those. Is he doing shingles on this roof, or is he doing?
He's doing shingles.
Shingles. Okay. So basically replacing what's up there already.
Yes.
Okay. And that because we are in contract with Lowe's, he's going to go through that. We don't need anything if it's for transfer station. If it's $100,000 expenditure, we should be fine. If it's more than $1,000, then we have to.
Whatever you would normally do, just look at it as just it's a town project. It's what you would normally do, so you would follow your procurement policy. I don't know how much it would cost.
Yeah. Okay. And I would have to check with Jeffrey on what $1,000.
Oh, I think you're thinking of approval without a board resolution. Okay. Well, under our procurement guidelines, and we've got a board resolution operating at $1,000.
Okay. Up to $1,000. Right.
Okay.
However, as a policy is written, yes.
Okay. Does he need help on that, does he? Is this something he needs to do?
He said he could do it himself.
Alright, let's move forward with that.
So we have a motion, we have a second, we have a discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Any other committee reports?
Recreation. So it was, Peter reached out with some information today, but I also wanted to let people know, and I've let the board know, but let's let the public know. There's been some vandalism, some thefts happening down at the rack. There's plastic or into a plastic table. There's been bases stolen on the softball fields. There's been some recent damage at the park where I'm not sure what they call it, but a bulletin board type setup was destroyed. Door kicked in at the bathrooms, you know, a locked door was literally kicked in, that the casing broken off.
Window on the pickup truck
was smashed. Window on the pickup truck, two windows actually, the front window and the side window broken out, looked like they threw a lock door. We believe it was probably kids that walked into the park and walked out of the park. There was also some damage on Jan Avenue that looked like they knocked over some mailboxes that they were exiting that area. The reason we know this is because one of the neighbors was alerted when the dog started barking, and he looked out to see the kids heading down the street. We don't have a great description. Law enforcement has been notified. There is an open case on us. We've also had a lock broken off at the beach, or the beach, Sandbar Beach. So there's some different things. And with that, we've been in discussion with cameras, and I reached out to Peter and asked him to come up with a plan for V-Car Park, for the rec park, to install some cameras. We got some information late today. Basically, what it means, I think it was as many as 12 cameras you'd like to install, but we don't. I don't know if we're going to need all of them, but I want to see, and I want to talk to them a little bit more about it. But I'm throwing this out here for people to know that this is something we really should be looking at and moving forward with soon. To get cameras down there so that if there is more damage or vandalism, that we might be able to actually solve it and maybe even report it if people believe that they're being recorded in their actions. So this is something that Alan and I kind of, you know, guided Peter a little bit with some information, and I reached out to Jeffrey Cruz to get in touch with Store Tech and give us an idea about what the cost might be. Hopefully at our next meeting, I'll have that information. And in regards to the park and the different things that are going on, the disc golf, that was... the disc golf nets, baskets, they've been installed. There's actually been a map made, and that's open to the public now. The splash pad drainage area, that's been fixed. It seems to be working quite well, and it seems to be, the splash pad seems to be a very popular activity at the park. And the park has also hosted several baseball and softball tournaments so far, and there's more coming. There's apparently four more tournaments that are scheduled this next month. So, with that, it's just overall things are going good. But there are two negatives here, and you know, people should be aware of it. And let's get together and talk more about cameras in the future.
Right? Do you think we can have a product we might be able to approve by next meeting?
I think Jeffrey needs to work with the appropriate stakeholders and go through that and, you know, sort of set up the cost from your guidelines. So
right.
It's a little early, but we're working on it. They're working on it.
Great.
I agree with John. You know, to get the cameras down there, you know, not only do you have a chance of maybe catching someone and react, but a deterrent. People see cameras, they're not so happy when they start destroying stuff everyone would think.
Right.
And I think it's a great idea. It's something that you should get to sooner rather than later. It just costs us money. You got to go down there and smash stuff. So.
Right.
Thanks for your fortune.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any report or ask? This came in later today, but Thomas Gordon and Richard Martin asked about how to get internet over at the historian's office. I don't know what we have to do that to get it over there, talk about it, but I don't know if there's anything.
I talked to the supervisor's office again the last time it was, I approached, I told them before, but I'll bring it to the supervisor's
office. Okay.
Anything else at this point for your reports?
No.
All right, well, for the first time in a year and a half, we've been open, and I would offer a privilege of the floor, but we have no one here to take advantage of it, so.
No one online.
Is there Lisa Sperry is online, and is one other person that I don't believe is requesting to speak? Nope, nobody online. So, privilege of the floor, not going to happen tonight. Do we need an executive session?
If I can have a brief one to discuss the ear litigation.
Yes. So, you need a motion to go into executive session or to discuss ear litigation.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Let me go.